what you think of others. Amen. Have you ever heard anybody say, I don't care what people think about me? I've heard people say that, but I don't believe it. Amen. All of us want to be significant. And all of us want people to think well of us. Amen. So really, everybody needs to feel that. Everybody needs to feel like you matter to somebody. So no matter however you may feel about that, it's not so important what others think about you as it is what God thinks about you. And I would like today to, for the next little bit, to address that question, what does God think of you? And I think we have an answer here in the Bible, what God thinks about us. So the Lord bless you, and you may be seated. I'm going now to the 13th chapter. And Jesus was teaching some parables here to the people. And he chooses a particular parable, and it was a fascinating story. People in his time would certainly have identified with what he was saying, and it would have really struck home with them, perhaps even more than it does us today. But he talks in the 13th chapter, in the 44th verse. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure." Everybody said treasure. "Hid in a field." Now, that seems kind of odd, perhaps, to us, that somebody would take a treasure and hide it in a field. But in Bible times, that was not rare, because there were few banks, if any, and the common people certainly didn't use them. And so whatever valuables they had, they would find what they felt would be a secure place, and they would hide it there. So sometimes they would go out into a field in the night, and they would dig a place in the earth, and they would bury the treasure, and they'd cover it over. Now, life being uncertain, perhaps something would happen and they never got to come back and claim their treasure. But for whatever reason it was, Jesus said, there was a man that was plowing in a field, and his plow struck something, and he probably thought it was a stone, and he got down on his knees and began to dig around it, and as his hand uncovered the wood of a chest, his heart began to race, and he began to dig faster, because he knew this was no stone. And suddenly the earth was cleared away, and he could see the lid, and he, with a shaking hand, he lifts up the lid, and his heart begins to pound with excitement when he looks down into a chest that is glittering with jewels and with precious stones. And he's excited because he found a treasure in a field, and he closes the lid and he covers it up, and the Bible said that he goes and he sells everything that he's got, because he found the treasure. And he said, according to the law, the Jewish law, if he found that he could keep it, so he went and he bought the whole field. Everybody say the whole field. You see, he couldn't buy the treasure without the field. He had to get the field, and then he could find the treasure. And so he got the whole field. He bought all of it. Amen. And he did that just so he could find the treasure. But the Bible says that he did that with joy. He wasn't reluctant. He was excited, because he understood that everything that he had was worth less than that treasure. And so he was excited about it, because he found a treasure in the field. Amen. Now, to understand, we can interpret this parable several ways, but I think what the Lord is really trying to tell us, I believe that he is the treasure finder. Now, I think that that we are the treasure. Did you know that God thinks that you are a treasure? That ought to change the way we think about ourselves. That ought to change the way we behave ourselves. That should really change our lifestyle when we understand that God thinks I'm worth something. It's not important what somebody else thinks. It really matters what God thinks. And God thinks that I'm a treasure. You look at what the scriptures say in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. There's a beautiful verse that says, though he were rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might become rich. In other words, it's saying that God came down and robed himself in flesh and was manifest in flesh, and God became one of us so he could make us to become like him. He left his riches and his glory to take upon himself our poverty and our human nature so that he could impart to us his divine nature. My, what a God we serve today. Hallelujah. What a great God. I love the verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, where the scripture said, wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I want you to notice that Jesus authored our faith and he finishes our faith. The Lord doesn't let you start out and then let you drop by the wayside. He intends for you to finish. God, the Bible said, he that began a good work in us. Everybody say, he started a good work in me. He's able to complete that work. He wants to complete that work. He doesn't want to stop and leave you incomplete, but he wants to complete what he started. God is a finisher. I said, God is a finisher. Amen. In his creation, the Bible said that he created for 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh day, not because he was tired, but because he was finished. His last words from the cross were, it is finished. God is a finisher. He's not a quitter. God doesn't give up. God doesn't quit. God doesn't stop. God finishes what he starts. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Listen closely. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want you to get that. It's talking about his crucifixion. The Bible said, who for the joy that was set before him. You see, Jesus went to the cross despising the shame. And yes, he suffered, and yes, there was pain, but he saw joy on the other side of the cross because he knew what his crucifixion would purchase for us. He was willing to endure the cross so he could purchase salvation for you and me. Hallelujah. Through one man's suffering and pain and death, he brought life and liberty for a glorious church filled with multiplied millions of people. And he said, it's worth it. And he joyfully paid the price. What I'm saying is he bought the field. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God purchased the whole field. Now, when he bought the field, he realized that not everybody was going to accept him. Not everybody was going to love him. Not everybody was going to serve him. But in the middle of the world, in the middle of the field, there was a treasure. There were some people in the middle of the field that said, I will serve you. And you're the reason that he bought the field. You're the reason that he paid the price. You're the reason that he went to Calvary, because he purchased a treasure. Amen. And he bought us and he redeemed us unto himself. Hallelujah. And so we have been purchased. The Bible said that we are bought with a price. We're not our own, but he purchased us today. Now, what is the ministry of a jewel or a treasure? What's our purpose in all of this? We are to bring pleasure and glory to God. Why do people buy valuable things, treasures? Why do they buy them? Because they get pleasure from that. The Scripture teaches us in the book of Psalm that God's people are his pleasure. God gets pleasure from us. Amen. I really believe that, Brother Bacon, that when God looks down from his regal throne and he sees people in an ungodly world living a godly life, he gets pleasure. When God hears all of the cursing and the profanity and the vile things and the gossip and the bitterness and all of the verbiage, vile verbiage that spills out of people's mouth and corrupt spirit. But in the middle of that, he hears somebody singing a song about praising him, and he sees somebody saying, praise the Lord, or hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Or he hears a prayer. He said, there's my treasure right there. Hallelujah. Amen. And we bring glory to God. The Bible said that we are the light of the world. And when he sees you showing light in the middle of darkness, God gets pleasure from that. That's our job. That's my ministry. That's your ministry, is to reflect the goodness, the grace, and the glory of Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. That's our job. He desires to display us to the world. Now, you may not feel like much of a jewel. I don't know about you, but I don't feel so bright sometimes. Amen. I don't feel so good sometimes. I don't feel so beautiful sometimes. Amen. But God thinks I'm a jewel. And it really doesn't matter what I think. If he thinks that, that's a good thing, isn't it? But you know what it ought to do to you and me? It ought to make us determine that we're going to do our best never to disappoint him. Amen. God wants to show through us this world. He wants to show this world his glory and his goodness and his grace. And then the Scripture goes on to say that a merchant was looking for goodly pearls. And he found this one pearl of great price. Now, he had studied pearls and he knew about pearls. And when he found this one, he said, this is it. Not all pearls are the same. There are what are called blister pearls, and then there's cultured pearls. I thought this was interesting. You know what's wrong with a cultured pearl? It's too perfect. I said it's too perfect. You know there's such a thing as being too perfect. Amen. There are some little flaws that add character. And God kind of sees to it that all of us have a little character. Amen. And we got some wounds in life, And he thinks that makes us valuable. Amen. And so he found a goodly pearl, one pearl of great price. See, same thing. It said he sold all and he bought it. And you're the pearl. Pearls are very interesting. A pearl is a product of pain. A pearl is formed when a grain of sand or a foreign object gets embedded in the muscle of an oyster. And the oyster, of course, it's irritated and it's aggravated and it's frustrated and it's in pain. And so it's trying to wash that foreign object out of itself. And so it issues a secretion called mackerel. And as that gushes around that, it eventually begins to harden and form over time a protective coating over that irritant. And it does that for a period of time until that little irritant, that little grain of sand, grows into a pearl of some size. And the deeper the wound, the larger the pearl. Brother Tenney said one time, he said, God is not as interested in your comfort as he is in your character. Now, you and I, we're interested in our comfort, aren't we? Shake your head like this right here. You better believe it. I like being comfortable. Amen. We don't like people to stir us up. You know what the job of ministry is? Somebody said the job of ministry is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. Amen. So if I irritate you today, that's a good thing. I'm doing my job. If I can stir you up a little bit today and get you a little uncomfortable about some things in your life, I'm doing my job. If I can put a finger today on some areas of your life that you need to work on, I'm doing my job. Amen. And the Holy Ghost is doing my job through me. It's not because I'm nosy. It's not even because I know. I'm just the mailman here today. I'm just delivering the message. I'm just giving you the letter today. That's all I know. And so that oyster develops in the heart, or that pearl develops in the heart of that oyster. Amen. One of the interesting things about a pearl is pearls do not reflect light. They absorb light. And then it just kind of it gives off a beautiful sheen. Amen. It does produce a bit of light, but it's a soft, warm glow because it actually absorbs. It doesn't just reflect. And the thing about a pearl is it can't be refined or formed. Now, you can take a diamond and you can form it. You can take gold and silver and you can refine it and you can mold it and make it in what you want it to be. But an oyster has to be formed. It's not something that can simply be shaped after the fact. You try to form a pearl and it'll destroy the pearl. Because it has to be formed from the inside out. And that's how God forms us, isn't it? From the inside out. He works on the inside. We sing a song around here sometimes. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Amen. But he's working on us. He's still working on us. Amen. We're a pearl. God purchased us. He paid the ultimate price. Reader's Digest, probably 30 years ago, ran a story that I still remember. Very interesting story. The name of the story was Johnny's ten cow bride. There was an author that went to an island, and in the island, it was like many ancient cultures, men paid a dowry or a price for their bride. And if they found a young lady they wished to marry, they'd go to the father and they would discuss what he would take for his daughter. And then he'd have to come up with a price. Well, the man saw one of the most regal and beautiful ladies he'd ever seen. And he asked about her. He said, "That lady's so beautiful. She has such a royal carriage about her." He said, "Who is that?" And he said, "Oh," he said, "That's Johnny's bride." And he said, "Who's Johnny?" He said, "Oh, he's the only man in the islands." And he began to tell the story about the ten cow bride. And he said that Johnny fell in love with this woman and he wanted to purchase her. So he went to the father of the bride. And he told the father, I mean, he didn't negotiate, bargain. He just spit it out. He just walked up and said, "I will give you 10 cows." Now, that was the highest price anybody had ever paid in the history of the islands. Matter of fact, it was far more. And, of course, the joke among the islanders was, they said, well, he could have got her for 4 or 5, and he paid 10. And they asked him one time, somebody said, "Johnny, why did you pay 10 cows?" He said, "I'm going to tell you why." He said, "Because nobody in the history of the islands has ever had a 10 cow bride. I'm the only one." Now let me just explain something from the other side here. Now, you ladies might understand this, and I know you don't want to be paid for with cows anyhow. I understand that. But that's a different culture over there. Amen. Now, your daddy might have wanted something like that, but not you. But can you imagine from the vision of a bride that this suitor comes to the father's house, and just the ancient tradition, they begin to haggle over the price of the bride. And he's trying to get the bride just as cheap as he can. How would that make you feel? If somebody's, it cheapens your price. It makes you think, well, you know, he's trying to get me just as cheap as he can. But when somebody comes in and pays double the price and said and there's no question, just spits it out. Amen. The greatest price anybody's ever paid. Now you know why Johnny's bride carried herself with such a regal carriage and such beauty and such finesse. Because she understood something. That my husband didn't buy me in a bargain basement somewhere, but he paid more for me than anybody's ever paid in the history of the islands. And it reflected in her character and her carriage and the way she felt about herself. I want you to understand today what somebody paid for you. Did you know that God set the price himself? The devil didn't set the price of redemption. Angels didn't set the price of redemption. Man certainly didn't. God set it. God set the price of redemption so high, there was not a demon that could pay it. The devil couldn't pay it. Angels couldn't pay it. Human beings couldn't pay it. So in the fullness of time, God paid it. God, who is spirit, took upon himself a human body with blood, and shed that blood because that was the price, and gave that life and sacrificed himself so that he could purchase us. God paid the ultimate price for you and for me. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. That's what God thinks about you. That's what God thinks about you. Anybody got any money here today? Bank, and you got the offer. was anything left. No, I found some. All right, yeah. I love this illustration. What I've got here, I hope, is a legal $20 bill. It's supposed to be. I mean, it came from the bank, straight from the bank. Actually, it came out of the offering. But this is a $20 bill. It has a picture of Andrew Jackson on it. At least that much is right. And so it's got all the stuff it's supposed to have on it here to be legal currency. It's a Federal Reserve note worth how much? How much is it worth? $20. Okay. But what if I wrinkle it up? Now what's it worth? Really? That's still worth $20? What if I throw it down on the ground? No, but don't you get that? Now what's it worth? What if I step on it? Still worth $20? Still is, isn't it? It doesn't matter what I do to that, it's still worth $20. Because it's not the bill. It's the United States government that said that's worth $20. Whether it's wrinkled, whether it's dirty, whatever you do to it, it's still worth $20. And what happens to us is life sometimes dirties us, and we get wrinkled, and we get mutilated. And we go through some terrible things, and we find ourselves sometimes involved in things we never thought we'd be involved in. We feel dirty, and we feel sullied, and we feel soiled, and we just feel terrible about ourselves. But you know what? Our values never change. As far as God's concerned, you're still worth the same thing. He still paid the same price for you as he did for anybody else. God didn't buy one soul in a bargain basement. He paid the same price for every soul. And every soul. Now, I understand, sometimes in our way of thinking, we think somebody's worth more than somebody else, but God doesn't think that way. Every person in this building today, he paid the same price for every one of us. And he loves each one of us today in this building just the same. Amen. Well, brother, pastor, but you know, some folks here, you know, they're better than others. No, they're not. They're not. Amen. That's hard for you and I to get through our noggin sometimes, but it's truth. God loves each one of us just the same. But what about me? I've done good. Well, don't get too proud. Don't get too lifted up. Amen. We're the same. We work the same, Brother Bacon, each one of us. He paid the same price for everybody. That's what God thinks about you. Now, that's also what God thinks about your brothers and your sisters. Shake your head like this right here. Mm-hmm. I've heard people say some pretty harsh things about people. He's not worth shooting. Ever heard that? Yeah. But you know what? Jesus paid the same price for him as he did for you. Amen. And he still sees the potential of a treasure in your life. Let's stand together today. Hey, I'm glad people are not the judge of this thing. When it all comes down to it, I'm so glad when I get to heaven, I'm not going to see a man sitting on a throne. I'm not going to see a human being sitting up there, no matter how good he is. I mean, I wouldn't want my pastor sitting up there. I wouldn't want my daddy sitting up there. I wouldn't want my mother, one of the greatest Christians I ever knew, but I wouldn't want her sitting on the throne. I'm glad it's going to be Jesus. Because he's the one that can judge like nobody else can. My whole point today is that the Lord really does love you. And he really does want to help you. And even if you're kind of wrinkled around the edges and soiled and life hadn't been real good to you lately, and you haven't even been good to yourself, God still wants to help you. He wants to help you get things straightened out in life. He wants to get you headed the right direction. How about it today? Somebody want to take him up on his offer? Somebody like to come today and say, here I am, Lord. I can't do this by myself. I've tried and I've been a miserable failure. I really need your help. And I'm come with confidence and faith today that you can make a difference in my life. How about it? Somebody want to avail yourself of a heavenly opportunity today? Amen. Would you like to come to somebody that thinks you're a treasure? Amen. He sees the imperfections. He knows they're there. But he sees deeper than that. He knows the difficulties and the problems, but he sees deeper than that. Amen. He not only sees what is, but he sees what can be and what he wants to be and what he wants you to become. He doesn't just see us as we are right now. He sees what he can make of us. He sees a 10-cow bride. How about it today? Somebody want to respond to the Lord. The altar's open right now. I think it'd be good. Amen. Make your way down here to the front of this building and kneel before the Lord and begin to pour out your heart to God. Amen. Jesus, if I ever needed help before, I need it today. Amen. The Bible said a broken and a contrite heart, you will in no wise turn away. Amen. You respond to us when we call on your name. And here I come. And here I come. And here I come.
I'm a child of the King.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. And his royal blood now flows through my veins.
And I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing.
Praise God, praise God.
I'm a child of the King. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King,
and his royal blood now flows through my veins. And I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God. I'm a child of the King. Oh, yes, I'm a child of the King, and his royal blood now flows through my veins. And I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God. I'm a child.
I thank you for your sacrifice. I thank you for the price.